Let's open up our Bibles here to what our scripture reading is going to be for the day. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. And I'm just going to read a couple little verses. And this is just a short little parable, actually, that Jesus is teaching. In Matthew, chapter 13, and I am going to read verses 31 and 32. And if you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. And God's Word says this, and again, I read out of an NIV translation, it says this: He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. And we'll stop right there. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I just pray that the message that I'm about to speak is going to be pleasing to you. I certainly, on this morning, want to hide behind a cross and just say that all the glory goes to you. Certainly for what you have done in this church, and I know that what you have done in my life. So, Father, may your scripture, your words from this book, be the power that transforms us today. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Real faith. Well, today we're going to finish this sermon series on real faith. Today we're going to put the final touches on what we need to learn and what we need to understand about this section, which we're talking about mustard seed faith. If you notice in your bulletin, I titled the message this morning, "So Where Did I Go Wrong?" And that's a personal thing for me. And I titled it that because of this. Well, when we begin our journey as a Christian, as a believer, we are just like tiny little babies. And there are just so many things that we need to learn about the Christian faith and learn about the Word of God. And in the process of learning these things, we often make mistakes, we make wrong decisions. Sometimes we follow the wrong leaders. And many of these things that we do, these mistakes and these decisions and these followings, we still do them all with good intentions. Well, over my career as a Christian, which began in 1994, I was certainly no different. I thought that every preacher on TV was preaching the truth. And I bought into every whim of what I thought was true Christianity. Well, I'll stand in front of you and admit this. I still don't know everything that I would like to know, but I will say this. I know a whole lot more than what I did back in 1994. So, let's see where I went wrong with this thing called mustard seed faith. If you were here 3 weeks ago, I told you a couple stories. In story number one, I had faith and I prayed and a person was healed. In story number two, I had faith and I prayed and this person died. The same faith, the same prayers, but different results, which resulted in me having many questions. So since that time, what have I learned, and what must we all learn about this thing called mustard seed faith? Let's go to our fill in the blanks and we'll fill them in, and then we'll go through and see the lessons that I learned and we all need to learn. Our first fill in the blank would say this, and we covered this last week. Our center of theology must be correct, our center of theology. What is theology? It's the study of God and understanding God and His Word. And that must be correct. We must have a God-centered theology and a God-centered foundation. And a person with a God-centered theology has faith in what God is capable of doing. So if that's the definition, where did I go wrong on my journey? Well, I had a man-centered theology back at this period of time, which was around 1998. I had faith in what my faith could do. But what does real faith teach us? Real faith teaches us that all the power is certainly in God and certainly not in us. That was a lesson that I learned. Our second fill in the blank would say this: we must understand that God is sovereign. Sovereign. S-O-V-E-R-E-I-G-N. Well, what does that mean? It means this in a biblical sense. It means that God is in control of all things, not us. That means that God is on the throne of glory, not us. That means that God answers to nobody, especially us. His thoughts are not our thoughts, and our ways are not His ways, says Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. His purposes will stand, and He will do all that He pleases, says Isaiah 46, 10. And His word that goes out from His mouth will not return to Him empty or void, but it will accomplish all that He desires. Why? To achieve the purpose for which He sent it, says Isaiah 55, 11. So now that I know that now, where did I go wrong back then? Well, back then, I thought I was in control. That I would pray and God would obey. But we know now that real faith knows that God certainly has the final word in all things. The third one, our third fill in the blank in the bulletin, says this: our request must line up with God's will. Our request must line up with God's will. Now, certainly, let me say this up front. We should never, ever, 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 ever quit praying and bringing our request into the throne room of God. Amen? We should continue to always do that. Always do that. But we also must remember this. We kind of learned this lesson last week. Part of the Lord's Prayer: Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. So where did I go wrong so many years ago? Well, I thought the faith of my request always, keyword, always changed the hand and the will of God. But once I got to know what real faith was, real faith knows that I would rather have what God wants for me more than what I would want for myself. We'll just kind of stop right there. Do you see a common theme that in these three areas, these three fill in the blanks where I went wrong? Let me just kind of sum them up and you'll hear the key words here. I had faith in what my faith could do. I thought I was in control. I thought my request changed the will of God. You see, my theology was man-centered, wasn't it? Because it was all about me. And what was the common theme there when it's all about us? It's all about pride. Pride. Here's a word we haven't mentioned for a while, pride. I believe it was pride that got Lucifer kicked out of heaven at one point in time. And I also believe it was pride that got Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden at one point in time. You know, Satan's initial temptation to mankind back in the garden was that he said this, that you can be like God. And we know that Adam and Eve bought into that temptation and plummeted mankind into sin. And you know, for a while, I bought into that lie also. I did. And unfortunately, there are still about 500 million people who continue to buy into that same lie, being told that they can be God. But let's answer one final question. What about what happened here in the Bible, in these gospel stories that we read about? The Jesus that I read about here is the same Jesus that I serve now, right? Same Jesus, he hasn't changed. And we know that people were healed here because of their faith. We know that. We read about that. And I have the same faith too. So, what's the difference? Why am I not healed of my infirmities each and every time? Because I feel like I have the same faith they did. We know this. Yes. People were healed because of their faith. Again, one example of that is Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, where the woman touches the cloak of Jesus, and what does Jesus tell her? He says this, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you." Well, those are the words of Jesus, so they got to be right. According to Jesus, her faith healed her. And on the other end of that spectrum, there are examples of when people did not get healed because of their lack of faith. In Matthew 13:58, the Bible tells us that Jesus did not do many miracles in his hometown of Nazareth because of their lack of faith. Well, you know, at an innocent time in my Christian walk, it sounded like to me that there was a pattern forming here. If you have faith, you get healed. And if you don't have faith, you don't get healed. And why wasn't it working for me? So where in my Christian walk did I go wrong? Well, that leads us to our fourth and final fill in the blank. I had to learn this. I had to learn that the miracles that Jesus performed were all about fulfilling prophecy and not so much about eradicating sickness and disease from first century Palestine. In other words, that's a long sentence, but in other words, he didn't perform miracles strictly for the purpose of healing and for casting out demons and for calming the seas. He performed miracles, and listen to this, he performed miracles so by their faith, they would believe he was who he claimed he was. The Messiah. The Christ. The Son of the living God. Remember the woman at the well in John chapter 5? His prophetic words alone proved to her, convinced her, that he was Messiah. It was prophesied in Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6, and in Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, that the Messiah will perform miracles. And then we read in Luke chapter 7, 18 through 23, Jesus is questioned by the disciples of John the Baptist, is, "Hey Jesus, are you the expected one? Are you the one that we're waiting for?" And Jesus responds by saying this, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." In other words, what I'm trying to say is this. The miracles he did was proof that he was the long-awaited, expected Messiah. The Messiah would do miracles. And for us, well, what about us today? For us the proof of who Jesus claims to be is not in the miracles that he needs to do today. The proof of who Jesus claims to be is in the miracles that he has already done. To have real faith means that we can read about those miracles right here in this book, in the revealed Word of God, and simply believe. Yes, he is the Messiah. Real faith means this, that we today don't need to see it or touch it or experience it. Remember Thomas in John chapter 20, verse 25? He says this, that Jesus appeared to the disciples without Thomas. And then when Thomas shows up with him, he says this, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were, I will not believe it." Well, Jesus shows up when Thomas is there, and Jesus says what? He says this, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That would be us. We haven't literally seen Jesus or touched him or experienced walking the face of the earth with him. But that's why it's called faith. Romans 10:17 says this, "Faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of God." And it's all right here. It's all right here. Jesus says a wicked and adulterous generation seeks signs and wonders. But just as a side note, did you know that not everyone that was healed in the Bible had faith? John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. There's a man who had been an invalid for 38 years. And he's sitting by the pool. And Jesus goes up to the man and asks him a simple question. "Hey, do you want to get well?" And the man responds with some kind of pretty lame excuse, and no pun intended, a lame excuse about the water's getting stirred up, and when they get stirred, he just can't get into the pool quick enough. Somebody always beats him into the pool. Where was this man's faith? This man's faith was in the waters of the pool and not in the stranger who was asking him the questions. But Jesus heals the man regardless. I thought faith, let's conclude by this whole thing by saying this. Where did I go wrong? Well, I thought faith was strictly about healings and miracles. And let's face it, many continue to believe that today. They believe that this, what can my faith get me? But real faith is about growing in the wisdom and knowledge of God in his word. In the scripture we read here this morning, Jesus uses the analogy of a mustard seed. He uses it when he talks about the type of faith. He uses it when he talks about the kingdom of God. Why so? Why a mustard seed about the kingdom of God in our lives? And why so about faith in our lives? Because a mustard seed, it starts out very, very small, doesn't it? I wish I had one here, but obviously it's a very small seed. It starts out very tiny, but that very, very tiny little seed has this potential for growing into a very, very large plant, the largest of garden plants, even a tree, Jesus says. And that's exactly the way that our Christian walk needs to be. We first come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. At that moment, a very, very wonderful journey begins. And at that time, we don't know all the answers. And often, we don't even know what questions to ask. So our wisdom and knowledge of Jesus and God's Word starts off very tiny, just like a little tiny mustard seed. But remember, that tiny mustard seed has the potential for growing into a very, very large tree. Then we start moving forward in our Christian walk. And we start growing. But as we start growing, we face difficulties and we face struggles. And sometimes, and quite often, they result in many, many questions about this walk that we're on. And where do these types of situations, where do they lead us? Do they lead us away from God because we think, hey, He's abandoned us? Or do these situations lead us towards God and a desire to know and understand and know more about Him? When our questions on this journey we call Christianity puts us on a desire to know and understand more about the truth of God and His Word, then our faith is going to start growing, just like the mustard seed. And the more truth that we learn, the more our faith is going to increase and become real. And real faith is never going to increase apart from the truth. But when it does, this tiny little seed that was planted into the ground becomes a very beautiful, large tree. It's a journey that we're all on. Is your mustard seed faith real? We know that our mustard seed faith is real when we can say with confidence what the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, some things, all things, that God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. How about your saving faith? Is your saving faith real? Do you know you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ? We know our saving faith is real when we can say this with confidence. Now, faith is the assurance of things hope for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. To sum it up, friends, I must say this. I don't need to see the miracles. I don't need to see the healings, because I already know that the God that I serve is able, because I read about it right here. Does He do the miracles? You know what? Sometimes He does. Does He do the healings? Sometimes He does. What do you need to see, to touch, to experience, to make your faith real? For me, it's sola scriptura. Scriptures alone. Everything I need is right here. Everything else is just icing on a cake. Let's go to God in prayer.